The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when the knock comes. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the manservants and the maidservants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish that servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparation nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, normally when I begin a homily, I like to start with a sort of a light story, maybe with a little bit of humor to it. But the thing is, today's gospel reading actually follows as the very next verse from last week. And if you remember, last week ended with Jesus talking about the rich man who wanted to tear down his barn and build a bigger barn, only to find out that his life was required of him that very day. So today I'm going to start with a bit of a sad story. It was October 22nd. 2015. I had been ordained for just a little under 4 months. It was almost 4:30 in the morning. It was a Thursday, so I was saying the luminous mysteries of the rosary as I drove into work. It was very appropriate because that day also happened to be the very first feast day of Pope St. John Paul II, who had initiated the luminous mysteries of the rosary. All of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see a blur. It was a car speeding along. It was obviously not going to stop in time for the stop sign that it had in front of me. I hit the brakes as hard as I could, and instead of them T-boning me, I hit right about the rear wheel on the right side. Now, their vehicle was a Dodge Caravan, so the whole side of it, the upper half, is glass. The glass all shattered on impact. And because nobody in that car was wearing a seatbelt, a woman came flying out through the shattered glass. And I watched her hit the pavement and die right there in the blink of an eye in front of me. I guarantee you that that woman probably had no idea that she was going to die that day. It probably didn't occur to her until she was actually flying through all that shattered glass. You know, each one of us at some point in our life is going to go through some sort of traumatic experience, even leading up to our final death, whether it's as quick and unexpected as happened to this poor woman, or whether it's after a lengthy illness. But our Lord asks us to face these times without fear, to face them with faith. Because you see, as people of faith, we believe that the trials and tribulations of our life can actually help strengthen our faith as we go along, to the point that we can eventually come to see our own death at a time of God's choosing, not ours. But our own death can be seen as a portal, the entryway into the kingdom that He has promised all of us. I'll give you some examples of people who live this way now or who have lived that way in the past. There's a nun. She's quite young, by the way. Her name is Sister Althea Noble. She writes a blog. For those of you who don't know what blog is, it's like a newspaper column except you publish it on the internet, okay? She is a daughter of St. Paul. That's the same order that runs the bookstore out in Metairie. She's not based here. I think she's in Los Angeles. But she writes about a practice that she has taken up, which is actually an old practice in the church. It's known as having a momenti mori. Momenti mori. It means a reminder of death. You've all seen these. You've seen statues of saints holding a skull, or pictures of people, say, from the Middle Ages with a skull on their desk. And this is the practice. She's actually got a skull, and she advises people to do something. It doesn't have to be a real skull. It can be a statue. But it's a physical reminder of what we say every Ash Wednesday. Remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Everybody remembers Mother Teresa, you know, little nun about this tall, right? People don't know something about her in general. She spent her entire life working for the poor, the sick, the dying in Calcutta. But it wasn't until after her death that we found out that she went through a very, very long period of time in which her prayer life was very dry, in which she did not feel the presence of God. How painful that had to be for her. But yet she persisted through it in faith, doing what she believed was the task He had assigned her. You can look at just about any saint or martyr of the church, and you'll find a similar story somewhere in their life. Yesterday we celebrated the feast of St. Lawrence, who was being martyred by being roasted over a fire. And during it, he turned to one of his persecutors and he said, "You can turn me over now, I'm done on this side." He was able to make that joke because he had faith. Faith in the promises of the Lord. Faith based on the same sort of scriptural passages that we heard today. In our first reading from Wisdom, it recalled the Passover. Now, I don't mean the Passover feast. I mean the actual event of the Passover, the day, the very night that the Hebrews were freed from slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine being one of those Hebrews? You are in your house, and all around you, you can hear the screams of people dying, left and right. But you have done what Moses asked you to do in faith. You've put the blood on your door. You're sitting there with your family eating the Passover meal in faith. Our letter from Hebrews spends a good deal of time talking about Abraham. Abraham is mentioned an awful lot in the New Testament as a good example of a very faithful person. You know, in faith, Abraham left the land of his ancestors, moved to a new land. In faith, Abraham and his wife Sarah believed that they would have a child of their own, even though they were past childbearing years. And they did. And that very son that they had, in faith, Abraham took up to a mountain at God's request to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, it was a test. He didn't actually have to sacrifice him. But it was credited to Abraham as faith. So when we get to our gospel reading, we see Jesus demonstrating via two parables how He wants us to live our lives not in fear, but in faith. As He puts it, storing up treasure in heaven. How do we do that? How do we store up treasure in heaven? We do it by living the way He asked us to live, loving God, loving neighbor, doing so out of faith in His promises. And you know, we Catholics get accused an awful lot about having a faith that is nonsense, a faith that has no basis in science, in fact. That couldn't be farther from the truth. As a matter of fact, Pope John Paul II wrote an entire encyclical about that. It's called Faith and Reason. The Latin name is Fides et Ratio, and it's something you might want to add to your bucket list to read somewhere along the way. But if you do, read it with a dictionary. He likes to use big words. Or if you like, you can call Cece in the DRE's office. She's got a bunch of books that describe it in layman's terms, make it a little easier for you. But he comes off swinging, very first sentence in the thing. He says, faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. The contemplation of truth. In other words, it's because we have faith that we seek out God by studying the things around Him, the gifts He's given us all around. As a matter of fact, a great deal of science over the last 2,000 years has come from Catholics motivated by their faith to scientifically study God's creation. And I'll give you some examples. Louis Pasteur, you've all probably heard of him. He was very famous in his day, well-known internationally as a scientist, lifelong Catholic, very devoted to saying the rosary. Here's what he had to say about faith and science. He says, "The more I study nature, the more I am amazed at the work of the Creator." He's not the only one. There's plenty of others. An Augustinian monk by the name of Gregor Mendel literally invented the science of genetics. Another one, Saint Giuseppe Moscati, was a pioneer in the treatment of diabetes with insulin. Dr. Jerome Lejeune discovered the cause of Down's syndrome and then was horrified and spent the rest of his life fighting against those who would take his work and use it to target Down's babies for abortion. Father Georges Lemaître, French priest. He was the originator of the Big Bang Theory. And I don't mean the TV show. I mean the actual Big Bang Theory, you know, the whole universe and everything. A priest, a scientist so brilliant that Albert Einstein actually said Lemaître was his inspiration in the scientific world. And finally, the one that every atheist likes to throw in our faces, Galileo. Yeah, that Galileo. Galileo Galilei. What they don't tell you is he was a lifelong Catholic. And he was working for the church. He was the papal astronomer. He actually founded modern astronomy. And even though he had a great deal of difficulty with church authorities when it came to expressing his scientific work to the common people, nonetheless, he remained a faithful Catholic his entire life. Because faith conquers ignorance. Faith conquers fear. So we have to ask ourselves, given all these examples, what is holding us back? What is keeping us from living our life fully in faith the way our Lord intends us to live? That's certainly something for us to take to the Lord in prayer. You know, if we think maybe our faith isn't big enough, we can pray like the guy in Scripture. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I promise you, God will not be stingy in answering a prayer like that. Then we can take whatever faith we have and put it into practice, performing, say, the works, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, bury the dead. I won't go through the whole list. You can pull out your catechism and look them up yourselves. Maybe you'll accidentally find something else along the way God wants you to notice. Happens to me all the time. When we come to Mass, we can receive the Eucharist in the full knowledge of faith that this is the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some symbol like too many people believe. This is not a symbol. God didn't hire some marketing guy to make up a clever thing that we would all remember. If we believe in faith that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, become incarnate, and He told us, "This is my body," then this is His body, broken for us, given for our salvation. So let us all, then, boldly go about living our lives in faith, in the knowledge that this world, with all its trials and tribulations, with all its joys and pleasures, is not our ultimate destination, but merely the place where we learn, where we journey, until we come to our true home at a time known only to God, our true home in the kingdom of heaven. God love you.